Getting up and speaking in front of an audience scares the daylights out of many people. Today's guest says talking to people we do not know is not far behind in the scary category. On top of the fear, add the societal and cultural constraints about talking to strangers, and we may not be terribly good at striking up conversations with new people. Today's guest can help. Marvin Brown is the owner of Contact Strategies in New York City. He travels the country giving workshops on successfully connecting with other people. He has put his ideas into a book called How to Meet and Talk to Anyone, Anywhere, Anytime, Simple Strategies for Great Conversations. Marvin Brown, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You came into this line of work from sales, we understand, specifically financial planning. So who trained you?
Well, actually, I did have a mentor when I was starting out in the industry, and apparently because of him, I learned very quickly and actually went into sales training in terms of teaching people intangible sales and the same techniques that you really need when you're selling an intangible are really the same techniques that you need when you meet someone for the first time. So it all kind of blended together for me.
Intangible sales, as in financial planning and things that you really can't put your hands on.
Yes, something like that. And that's a very major point that you brought out, because even when you buy a car, you could sit in the car, you could get comfortable in it, you could look at it, clothing, you try it on. But when you're dealing with an intangible, the person who's presenting it has to make it real for you.
Marvin, how much did the mentor reshape what you had been before you met this person? I mean, were you naturally outgoing? Did carrying on an interesting conversation come naturally to you?
No. As a matter of fact, it didn't. I felt very grateful in meeting someone who could help me in that area, because these conversational skills are just very, very important to a lot of us in our lifetime. I mean, people should really be aware that not everything, but a great deal of what is important to us in our lifetime really requires communicating with other people. And although it may not seem fair, people, you know, do judge our wit, our integrity, our sincerity, our intelligence, all through our conversational skills. And so when I met this mentor, I began to realize how important it was, and I paid attention to what he was teaching me.
So when you talk to people, though, I mean, you obviously learned this through your work. I mean, can you shut the sales guy off? Can you just have a conversation to meet somebody with no particular agenda?
Yeah, it's what's called breaking the ice with a stranger, right? It's just, in other words, if you're waiting, let's say, in an airport, in the waiting lounge, and all of a sudden they tell you the plane is going to be 40 minutes late. In some of these airport lounges where people are sitting in these seats elbow to elbow, you could see 150 people, and most of the time, unless it's people they came with, they're not talking with each other. And why not pass the day and time of day with another stranger?
In the start of the book, you point out that there are some societal and cultural constraints that generally presume that you can't just say, hey, you look interesting, can we talk? So you don't use those words clearly. How do you approach another person?
That is a great question, because I'm glad to give the answer. The short part of it is you use what we call, and everyone calls, a situational opener. And in my book, I put it in the form of 10 magic words. And I'll tell you what I call them magic words in a minute. It's use the environment around you and find an environmental prop. And I just want to say, Jeff, that we grow up in life and we learn that there always seems to be an exception to every rule, or many rules outside of science and math. But here, the exception to the rule is that there is no exception. It works all the time. And say, let's say you and I are waiting for, you know, in line, and I might just turn around to you and say, gee, I hope it doesn't take too long for this to get started. And the chances are you're going to answer me, and then one thing will lead to another. We could be visiting the San Diego Zoo, looking at some Bengal tigers, and you could be standing next to me, or it could be anybody, older, younger, same gender, opposite gender. And if that person turned to you or to me and said, boy, those lions sure are beautiful, Jeff, we would probably all start talking about it, right?
There's your environmental prop, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's always an environmental prop. It's never direct. You don't challenge anybody. But people will generally respond to another human being if they approach them. In other words, the strange thing about it is that 95% of the people in our country just don't know how to go over to someone they don't know, a stranger, and begin a conversation. And yet, all of those people will enter the conversation if someone begins it with them. And many times they feel grateful because they know they're standing next to someone and they should be doing it, but they don't. And then when the person does it, they feel relaxed about it.
Much more on icebreakers and environmental props and all the other things that make it easier to meet and talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime. Marvin Brown is the author of a book pretty close to that title. We'll talk more with Marvin and take your phone calls and emails. Talk about icebreakers you may have used over the years. Call into the exchange. We'll provide the phone numbers when we're back from a break in a minute 10. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today, Marvin Brown, what he learned in sales over the years applies to the rest of life about connecting with people. He's written a book called How to Meet and Talk to Anyone, Anywhere, Anytime, things that break the ice, that turn strangers into non-strangers, and maybe even beyond that, into friends over time. How do you get those conversations started? Well, he talks about environmental props, use the environment around you. If you're at the zoo, talk about the animals, that sort of thing. Let's hear from you about situations you've been in where you wished you'd had an icebreaker and maybe successful strategies you have used yourself over the years. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Marvin, when you were talking a few moments ago, it occurred to me that there's a certain fine point that we have to work around when we're meeting new people. On one hand, some people consider it rude to just approach other people out of the blue. But on the other hand, it's also rude if somebody does start talking to you and you don't respond. So there's a couple of different push-pull effects going on there in meeting somebody for the first time.
Yes, but Jeff, I will tell you, the people you describe generally are the exception to the rule. In other words, if you're at a fundraising event, and where people have a common interest, the environment, everybody's there, and you just turn to someone and say, gee, it's so nice to see so many people come out for this event. Or in New York City, we, as you could tell from my accent, and you mentioned I live in New York City, mm-hmm. We have the Macy Day Parade. We have parades, and hundreds, thousands of people line the streets. And the people who come with their friends, they talk, but they don't talk to strangers. And every single time that I go and I'm standing there alone and I turn to the person next to me and I'll say, gee, that was a beautiful float. Or the New York Marathon, and I'll say, my gosh, look at all these people running. It's amazing. I have never had anybody look at me as if they say, security, I have to call the police.
Get the butterfly nets, yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah. They will always, all people will respond because, you know, it's interesting. See, you know, we all think when I mentioned the zoo before, we know about all kinds of animals and the way they are and how apes are and lions are and snakes are. But you know something, Jeff, believe it or not, we never think about it this way, but we are actually animals. We're called social animals. Scientifically, we are referred to as social animals, and people need people. The problem is that, see, when we grow up in life, no one ever teaches us how to do it. That's the problem. It's really not even anything with an inner talent. For example, you have children, and for the first time, they're allowed to go out of the house alone for the first time and maybe walk to a friend's house a block and a half away or to the school bus a block and a half away. And certainly when that happens, usually today the mother will say to the child, oh, and when you're walking, if someone comes by, a stranger who you don't know and they're talking to you, you keep walking. Right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Don't talk to strangers.
Don't talk to strangers. And then they'll say, and if it's in a car and they roll down the window and they're just asking you directions, you keep walking. Do not talk to strangers. So, you know, we actually grow up with this stranger danger mentality. And but then when we finally get to an age where we're teenagers and we're kind of safe, the parents don't teach us how to meet other people. And the reason why? No one taught them, so they can't teach us. And it goes through generation to generation. That's really what the issue is that no one ever taught us how to do it. And we have this strange danger mentality in our head. But once you learn how, as the expression goes in the United States, it's as easy as pie.
Marvin Brown's our guest on The Exchange. His book is How to Meet and Talk to Anyone, Anywhere, Anytime. Let's take some calls. Here's Helga in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Marvin Brown.
Hi. I have a really easy time talking to people, but I find that there is a situational obstruction these days. It's called earbuds. It's called a thing in your hand that you're punching text to somebody or a cell phone on your ear. And if you can't make eye contact or audible contact with somebody, you can't engage them.
Yeah, that is a point that a lot of people bring up. Thanks for that, Helga. Marvin, your thoughts about trying to pierce the electronic shield?
Yeah, it is a problem that is becoming worse and worse every day in this country. And of course, my advice to a lot of people who have these devices is you've got to develop the discipline to understand that you own the device. The device does not own you. And unfortunately, there is a generation of younger people and people who are joining the younger generation in this issue. And the only thing I can say is that we can't stop other people from doing this. We just have to live with it, but make sure that we don't do it ourselves. You know, for example, it's legend now where among employment agencies and executive recruiters where people who go out for a job interview, and in the middle of their interview, they start checking their electronic device. And then they complain to their friends why they didn't get the job. So I can't really give you any advice to help other people. All I could tell you to do is don't do it yourself. And I hope that's a good answer.
Are we being fair, though, to the younger generation? And I ask this only because I saw a Facebook post recently that was a picture. It looked like on the Long Island Railroad in the 50s. Everybody was wearing hats and reading newspapers. So they didn't have devices, but they had stuff they were all reading and not talking to each other.
Oh, absolutely. And on commuter trains and buses, that definitely existed at the time. But you see, here we're talking now about people who are at parties and they're standing in the corner looking at their devices. Places that was culturally acceptable, where you would ride every single morning to work and you had to fill up that hour of time on the Long Island Railroad or buses. But here I think we're talking about people, there are single people that go to clubs like all the previous generations did. And many times you'll see these younger people at clubs where there's music and dancing and they're there to meet other single people and they're looking at their electronic devices. That's the exception that should not be allowed.
Well, is it possible, though, that the reason that people retreat into the electronic devices to chat with friends they already know is because they are shy? I mean, and you point out in the book, shyness about meeting people is not destiny. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, see, what happens is that about 99% of the people who, let's say you go to a party, and there's always about two or three people who are bopping around and, you know, they're meeting people here, they're meeting people there. You can even see that they're meeting your friends who you know they don't know. And a lot of people will look and say, gee, I wish I had that talent. I wish I wasn't shy this way. And they label themselves. They say, I'm shy this way. And it's not that they're shy. They just don't know how to do it. And so the shy, and if you learn how to do it, it's amazing how fast those feelings of shyness completely disappear. And that's what I meant in the book when I say that it isn't destiny. It's not that you're shy. It's just you don't have to know, you don't know how to do something. And once you learn how to do it, and it's so simple, it doesn't take a lot of time. If the people who are listening to our show were to use some of these situational openers anywhere, waiting for coffee, just saying, "Ah, boy, it's time for my cup of coffee," you'll see how everybody will talk to you and how quickly those feelings of shyness will disappear.
Marvin Brown, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange once again. His book is How to Meet and Talk to Anyone, Anywhere, Anytime, Simple Strategies for Great Conversations. You can join this discussion on the Exchange. Tell us your own stories about when you got over the shyness hump and approached somebody else and what you got out of that. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. All right, so let's talk about these openers. If you can get over the shyness hump, you can forget the blushing and the heart pounding and whatever you feel when you approach somebody new. What do you say? I mean, what are some of the openers, particularly if you're like, oh, God, it'd be lame to talk about the weather or something. But you actually recommend doing that, don't you?
I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said? I'm sorry.
You do recommend talking about things like the weather, right? Small talk's not a bad thing, you say.
I absolutely, definitely recommend using the weather. It is put down in this country, and people say, what am I going to do, talk about the weather? But let me say this to you, Jeff. As I mentioned before, I live in New York City, Manhattan. We have a population of about 1.3 million that just live in the borough of Manhattan, and I think about 99% of us live in apartment buildings with elevators, and then we go to work, and we're in elevators all the time, up and down. And people never seem to talk in elevators, at least here in the city. And yet, it is always amazing to me when it could be one of those hot summer days, and I walk into an elevator, somebody walks in, you know, behind me or in front of me, and again, it could be a female, a male, older, younger, and the door closes, and again, it could be 90 degrees outside, and I use that as the environmental prop to break the ice. And I'll say, boy, it sure is hot today. I could tell you that I can't even remember the last person who didn't start a conversation with me. They immediately, again, you take them out of their zone, and they're comfortable and they're happy that now they can talk to another human being in a closet while they're going to the 20th floor.
It is really a closet, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, when you really think about it, two human beings going into a closet and they don't talk to each other. But yes, it's any of the simplest things in the world. I go to, let's say, restaurants and we're waiting online to get in because this place you can't make reservations, and there'll be a couple in front of me or a couple behind me, and we could stand there for 20 minutes, and no, they will not talk to me, and yet all of a sudden I'll say, gosh, this sure is a great restaurant, and I guess that's why waiting online. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we're in a conversation with another couple. Just anything to break the ice, and human beings will talk back to you.
Marvin, you talked about the concern about stranger danger, though, and the fact that people are wary of one another often. So in that environment, how do you communicate sincerity as opposed to creepiness? I mean, how do you make it clear that you're really just trying to make a definite attempt to make a connection with the person as opposed to like, hey, what do you got under there? You know, stuff like that.
Great, great, great. Here, it's really all in body language. The first thing is when you're speaking to someone, you're generally about 2 or 3 feet away. And we have in body language called proxemics. It's the science of space. And so when you have, when you speak to someone and it's a loved one, somebody who's a very, very close friend, but generally loved ones or kids, you could stand about a foot and a half from them and less, even 2 or 3 inches. But generally speaking, the polite distance is about a foot and a half to 3 feet. So if you're going to stand about 4 feet away from the person, you're already distancing yourself from them. It's very strange to try and have a conversation with someone who's about 4 or 5 feet away from you. Or if it's someone you don't know and they move into what's called your personal space, that foot, foot and a half, where only your family and loved ones are allowed in, that's creepy. So the first thing is you stand socially apart appropriately, as I say, maybe 2 feet away. And my tip is also don't have your feet facing them or your body facing them, but your feet facing in another direction, which means your feet are facing to the left or the right, and you're doing your body is 45 degrees. It's like you're half in and you're half out. So face them.
So you're not riveting attention on them is the point of that body gesture, it sounds like.
Yeah, right. And what you do, see, is if you face them and a couple of feet away, it's amazing. Once you're talking to a person like this, even for a minute, everything else gets obstructed in the outside world, and you feel like you're in the world of your own. And I don't mean intimate. You know, it could be two guys just talking. But it becomes like you're with another human being and you're having a conversation. See, one of the things which everybody should really understand also is that if you do this and you're relaxed and you make casual eye contact, not staring, but just casual eye contact, and if they say something and you nod your head, you say, aha, yeah, I see, you're right, because nodding your head means you understand and you can keep talking and I'm interested. And if there's inappropriate, just to give a half smile. I'll tell you why these things are the most important things in the world. Everybody is concerned about making a first great first impression. And so when you're talking to someone and you're hoping that you're making a first great impression, you can be guaranteed that even though the other person seems very relaxed in front of you, they have the same thoughts going on in their head. They want to make a great first impression. So when you actually show someone that you're comfortable talking with them, you're there in the present time, and yeah, I hear you, oh, that's interesting, you're making them feel like they have made a great first impression. They feel relaxed. And you want to know something, Jeff? People like people who like them. And you're doing nothing but that gives you an opportunity to make a great first impression. How does that sound?
It sounds great. I'm curious about eye contact, though, because, you know, here again, trying to avoid the creepiness factor, and you mentioned you want to pivot a little bit away from people so you're not facing them up squarely. I imagine it's good to glance away from time to time because otherwise they're going to think you're trying to bore holes in them with your eyes or something.
Absolutely. The eye contact rules are this. It's if it's somebody who's casual, it's somewhere between 30 to 60%, and you don't have to bring a clock with you. You could feel it. It's not generally over 60%. You can gaze away, or you could, you know, quickly. You don't start looking at something for a minute, certainly your electronic gadget or gazing at people across the room, but you can gaze back and forth. The only time we ever go over 60% is when we have an intimate relationship with the person. And then the eye contact is extremely important to confirm that intimate relationship. But you'll notice, by the way, and I'm sorry for going on, when people talk, the person who's talking will generally make less eye contact than the person who's listening. Because sometimes when we're talking all the time and we're thinking of a word, the brain can't think of two things at the same time, even looking at another human being. And so people will talk, and in the middle of the sentence, they'll kind of look away for a second to think of the word they want to use, and then they'll look back. And that even means that people are not staring at each other constantly. you don't even have to work that hard at it.
I can totally relate. Honestly, when there are people in the studio with me, it's a little harder to remember questions because I'm maintaining eye contact and forgetting what I was going to ask next. Much more to talk about with Marvin Brown. His book is How to Meet and Talk to Anyone, Anywhere, Anytime. We had a call on the line. She dropped off. Please come back if you'd like to talk to Marvin about social situations in your own life and how you made strangers into not strangers anymore. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Marvin Brown and you in a minute 15. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Marvin Brown. A long career in sales taught him a lot about connecting with other human beings. He shares his concepts now through his business, Contact Strategies, in New York City. He travels the country giving workshops on successfully connecting with other people. And now he's written a book, How to Meet and Talk to Anyone, Anywhere, Anytime. Simple strategies for great conversations. You can join this conversation yourself on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe share some stories about ways you have broken the ice over the years. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. We talked about ways to start a conversation, you know, talk about the weather, talk about the environment around you. If you're at the zoo, talk about the zoo. You're at the restaurant, talk about the restaurant. But and you talk about both these strategies, but is it better to go with questions? Do people feel interrogated if you're starting with a question? They feel better if you make a declarative statement yourself?
The best way, the only way, really, to start a conversation with people who you don't know is by either making an opening statement, following it up with a question, or you can ask the question and then make the statement. It's either a question or a statement or a combination of the both. Let's say I'm at a lecture and there's a break. And everybody gets up and they go into the lobby. Maybe they're going to get coffee or this. And you're standing next to someone who's at the lecture and you don't know them and they don't know you. But you're standing, you know, in a crowd and you just turn to the person and you could say, gee, I find this guy interesting so far. How about you? See? And that's making a statement and a question. And it's not going to overpower people. You both had a common interest to come to this lecture or this class in the evening at a university or something. And so there's a bonding technique. You're both there for the same reason. And that's how you could do it. You could be standing in a gym where you go all the time, and there are people, lots of people, they go, and they see them every week for a year, and they never talk to them. And then you could be next to somebody waiting at a machine, and it could be a female or a male, and just say, gee, the gym is sure is crowded today. And everybody's going to answer you. So, yes, it's either an opening statement or a question. And, of course, just a casual question about the environment around you.
Do you have to be careful? I know that particularly in giving directions to people, I want you to do this, or, you know, I have a problem with something you're doing. You're really careful to use I language is the general recommendation. If it sounds accusatory if it's you language. Is there anything in your precepts about making sure you don't make it too directed, too personal, too much about you? I'm talking to you.
What you said, you summed it up perfectly, and I would agree with you 100%. Absolutely. There's no question about it. It's 50-50, and it should stay that way. See, a lot of people, and this thought just popped into my head, it's a little bit aside from what you brought up. A lot of people, when they think they're going to meet someone for the first time, they're always worried about what they're going to say and how they're going to control the conversation and things like that. But, you know, it's a two-way street. The traffic goes both ways, and it's 50-50. you're really only responsible for 50% of the conversation. The person you're talking to is responsible for the other half. And yes, sometimes we meet people who gab, and we only talk, we listen 70% of the time, and we listen 30% of the time. And then sometimes a subject will come up, and we seem to feel very avid about it, and we may talk 60% of the time. But even when you go to parties, and you're talking with two other people at the hors d'oeuvre table, your responsibility drops to a third, because you were two other people. Right?
Right. So you really have a less of a burden to hold up there, right? It's never 100% is the point.
Yeah, and if it's four people, your burden dropped to 25%. But yeah, the point is also is that when you do meet people for the first time, you don't make it personal in either direction for a while until you get to know them.
All right, let's take some calls here. Here's Bruce in Days Creek, Oregon. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Marvin Brown. Bruce,
good
go
morning.
Ahead.
Good morning. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I rode my motorcycle to New York City from Oregon, and before I left, people who I think probably knew what they were talking about said, Bruce, country kid like you, you're going to go to New York, they're going to eat you up. And so I rode that 3,000 miles, and I had a certain amount of trepidation the whole way. And I was actually frightened when I got there. I came across the Verrazano Bridge, and I'm trying to get to Brooklyn. And the first place I stopped to make try to get hooked up with the place I'm going to. And so I park my motorcycle, I take off my helmet, and in front of this little store, there's a bunch of people. And they kind of got up, and they started walking slowly toward me. And I thought, oh, no, this is it. And you know what they did? Where are you going? Can we help you? You came all the way from Oregon. I didn't say a word.
Wow.
They took care of me. My whole experience in New York City, the most friendly people I have ever met. I learned how to work the subway a little bit. I could get over to Grand Central Station. I saw what happened on the streets. And I said, I can ride my motorcycle in this if I drive like they do. And so I started driving over, and at every stoplight, I'm not kidding you, the taxi drivers roll down their windows. They want to know how long it took to come from Oregon. They were so interested. I mean, the most incredibly friendly people that you can ever find.
Well, that's a great story. Thanks for that, Bruce. And Marvin, it sounds like the whole city is full of people like you.
I love it. Yeah, we are. By the way, see, what happens is that in New York City, we are a walking city. And so when people walk around, no one makes eye contact with each other. And so it kind of looks like an unfriendly city. But as we just heard, deep down inside, it's not that way. And by the way, here's a figure that may scare a lot of people. Again, in Manhattan, we get every single month 3 million tourists that come and go every single month. Could you imagine that figure?
That's twice the population of the island on a regular basis.
Right.
Wow, every month.
Right, but that's a great story, and I'm so happy to have heard it.
Yeah, Bruce, thanks for sharing that with us. Let's go to Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Marvin Brown. His book is How to Meet and Talk to Anyone, Anywhere, Anytime.
Yes, good morning. One of the things I've always found that it's learning to say Oye Bay without saying Oye Bay when the plane is going to be late or anything. You know, it's unavoidable with your body language. Other people snicker or groan or whatever. They just do it automatically. And the most important thing is pick out a couple of people and let them feel that they're important. Example, if I say, I really need to find a cab driver that's been around about 20 years ago that knows this area and whatever, because I'm interviewing, you know, whatever. Always make sure that you're letting that individual feel like they are the most important.
All right.
Thank you.
Good advice. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate
it. That is fabulous advice.
You know, he brings up a point, though, if you're starting conversations with people like on the plane, you know, gee, we're late. I mean, I would think you would want to be careful not to make it too negative, like, oh, geez, this airline's always late, as a conversation starter or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. By the way, see, again, we're talking about body language again. And again, unless people don't know about this, it's always scary to hear it the first time. The statistics are that when we communicate with other human beings, all words account for only 7%. The tone of our voice is 38%, and the rest of our body language is 55%. But let's say I'm going to get up and give a speech somewhere, and I get up and I say, "Ladies and gentlemen, I am very happy to be here today." Well, everybody in the room should know I'm happy to be here today because that's what I said, right?
But you don't sound like it.
Right. And if I say, "Ladies and gentlemen, I am very happy to be here today." So what the person just said about the tone and what you said about the tone is so important. You could say to someone, "Gee, I hope the plane is going to come when, you know, is going to be on time. I have an important appointment in California." Or rather, "I hope that plane cut," you know, and they scare the heck out of the person. So, yeah, it's the tone of your voice. And even giving a compliment and saying, "Gee, that's a great looking whatever." Right?
Right.
It's, you know, they could feel that you sincerely mean it. And so the tone is extremely important when we communicate with people.
Marvin, you get into the difference in authority levels in some situations where somebody, they hold authority over us or some power that that we wish to tap into. And the best example is job interviews, it seems like, where you're trying to get this person to let you on board. So, I mean, obviously job interviews are a pretty important subject at this point in human history or in American history. What are some of the things people need to do to get comfortable with the situation and comfortable enough to be free to be impressive?
I'll tell you, you know, in today's world with the unemployment rate what it is, I couldn't think of a better question. And I hope this is going to help a lot of people. And it's something that very few people know, by the way, Jeff. There are so many books now on how to prepare a resume. You can go online and even get free tips Googling. And there are books on how to interview and questions, but I want to share something with our audience that very few people know. When you go out on a job interview, the people who are sitting, you know, not together, one person comes at a time, they have been pre-screened. Either if it's a big job, it's headhunters. If it's an agency, you have professionals who or human resources. They get their resumes. They go through 100 of them. They read each one. They cull them, and they see who is appropriate for the job. And so let's say they bring in 5 people to get interviewed for the job. The chances are that every single person who's going to be interviewed really is technically capable of doing the work. That if they blindfolded themselves and just picked up the resume out of a bag, they probably couldn't go wrong in terms of their ability because they were pre-screened. We know how to read resumes. And yet, so when you go on a job interview, most people get nervous because their egos are online. And that's not terrible. We're born with an ego. You know, our egos are on the line. But the point is that the person who's interviewing you, their ego is also on the line because they don't want to make a mistake and hire the wrong person. And so my advice is to anybody who's going to go out on an interview in the near future or ever, relax and get comfortable and pretend you're even almost having a conversation with someone that has nothing to do with the job itself. Because if you can connect on a personal level with that person, and that person says, "You know, I think this person would fit in nicely," that's going to get the person the job. Whereas some people come on the job interview, and it's a job interview, and they sit there very stiffly, and they don't smile, and they feel they have to be, "Oh, it's a job, I got to be serious," and they don't let their personality come out. And believe it or not, they may even be slightly more capable than the other person, and they won't get the job offer.
Interesting. So it's not just about making yourself comfortable. You're really trying to create a comfort zone for the person who's interviewing you. So you're trying to put them at ease, and through that process, create your own ease.
Your own ease, yes. And then say, that person's going to say, you know what? I think that person's going to fit in. Other people will be happy I hired him or her. So true, what you just said.
I want to ask one more thing before we have to go, though, which is, what do you ask, just in casual conversation, this is outside the job interview thing. For example, if you're asking the obvious, hey, what do you do for a living? And the answer you get back is, yeah, this and that. And they don't really want to talk about it.
When you meet someone for the first time, you do not bring that subject up immediately. But what happens is that if you're at a cocktail party or someplace where you're, you know, you're talking to someone for more than 10 or 15 minutes, or you meet someone at the gym once you for the first time, and then the second time, and then the third time. In other words, after a while, depending on situation, that question, if it's asked casually, means that you're saying, you made a nice impression on me, and I want to know more about you. And it's done casually.
Got it. There's so much more in the book. We have barely scratched the surface of how to meet and talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime. Marvin Brown wrote it. Marvin, thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
A pleasure.
Tomorrow on The Exchange at 8 o'clock, we'll talk about a foster parent ombudsman for Oregon. In our Vents Day segment, we'll talk about criminal rehab and boosting graduation rates. And then we'll talk about preventing financial abuse of seniors at 9 o'clock, all tomorrow on The Jefferson Exchange. Our producer and today's engineer is Charlotte Duren. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.